Hi, I'm Forrest Griffin.
Brian Caraway.
And Lisa Tate.
What's up, guys? This is Joseph Benavidez, UFC flyweight.
Hi, this is Greg Jackson, and you're listening to It's MMA Zing, and that is an amazing pun.
Get it? Like MMA, but amazing? Amazing.
Radio.
Welcome to It's Amazing Radio. I am your host, Dr. Law. With me, as always, DJ Mark.
So,
how you doing, buddy?
Good. Yeah, just got through 300, so that was fun. That was a good highlight.
Yeah, that was fun. We're going to talk a lot about UFC 300 because there's no card this week. I think we're in a warehouse next weekend. I don't remember. I think so. Because it was going to be.
I think it might even be 2 weeks or something. It's like, it's a while.
I thought it was next week. Like the 27th. I mean, I think that's not this Saturday. That's the following Saturday. Because
it says the 27th is the next card.
Yeah. So this Saturday is the 20th.
It's 2 weeks.
Yeah. Basically. So next week we'll talk about. No, we won't actually. Because it's like Manel Kopp is out and it's some bullshit fight now. And I don't know what the fuck's
going
on.
It's still not a good. It's a bad card. Yeah.
It's front of nobody, I hope. We'll talk about, so we're going to tie, and then the PFL card is okay. There's some names on it, but like, you know, we're not going to get into that. We're really going to talk about UFC 300. First fight card where I at least attempted to watch every single fight. Had to walk my dog in the middle of Andrade and Rodriguez. But besides that, saw all of it. I know Mark saw all of it. We're going to talk about that mostly. A little bit of news, which we're going to give it more attention than the UFC did when they took out Dana White took out a piece of paper and started reading fucking the return of the most important fighter in the history of this stupid sport, okay, returning,
right.
Which I texted Mark in the middle of one of the video packages they did where I said, man, did the WWE take over the UFC video package because it was really good? And then I heard like Anik talk about how like, man, that was so much work making that video package. I was like, oh, we're not getting any more of those. They did one good video package. They want to give each other a pat on the fucking back.
Yeah, you were referring to the one where they had, like, oh, all the fighters throughout time, and they're showing, like, these fake matchups that haven't really happened. Like, all these fighters are tied. I mean, well, it was a good video package, but it was our, like, I saw that a couple weeks prior on UFC's YouTube page, so it wasn't, like, because they had a lot of promos, we'll talk about at 300, that I thought were really fun, and through that video package, and which, I don't want to discredit it because they released it early. Because it was really good, but yeah, definitely a step above from what they normally do with their, you know, a couple clips here and there.
They're not trying. That's my implication, yeah. To be clear. They're not trying very hard, which, again, right. I mean, I could have directed the Conor McGregor return video, which was like, you play some fucking Irish music with like, and like, you go black, you play some fucking some music, you have that motherfucker's cackling laugh, and then you just fucking list the date. Bam!
That would have been easy.
There we go. That would have been great. Anyway, no Lavender Gooms today. He's back in the motherland in the Dominican Republic. So over there visiting, I think, relatives and showing his girlfriend around. So he wanted to make sure we had a couple of these days because today, pardon me, April 15th, though you guys are listening tomorrow likely, is National Titanic Remembrance Day, which... Don't know how you celebrate. I guess you can watch the movie.
Watch the movie, yeah. Read some books, maybe.
Yeah, and then it's also National Rubber Eraser Day. She wanted to point that one out.
Are erasers made out of other things besides rubber? I don't really, you know, dive into what my erasers are made
out of. I have no idea.
Nor do I use pencil too often either, so.
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. It's a fair question. And I would just like to point out that it is tax day, so...
That's true.
For the love of God, file your taxes. You know, they'll find you. They will.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they do. Look, I think there's a lot of people out there that don't pay their taxes and nothing happens to them. But
just know this, if they don't find you, you're just, know that you're not very important. That they don't care enough to go after you, I guess.
I'll just know that they could find you. And if they do find you, it's going to be bad. It's either going to be a lot of money or you go to jail. We've seen many... celebrities.
Yeah, and I just want to say, if you're really excited about getting a refund, I don't want to throw, you know, cold water on that, but just know that means you paid them too much money and you just gave them a no interest loan for an entire year, basically. So Maybe.
Yeah, but see, I think I always heard too that like if they owe you money, they don't care as much if you don't pay your taxes, right? Like if you don't file your taxes. It's like, oh, we owed you $1,000. If you owe them money, then they really care about you.
Well, that's even more of a reason to fucking file. They're getting you money. They're cutting you a check. Look, it's not that hard.
People. I know. I'm just saying, like I don't think they audit as many people when it's like they always get a refund because it's like, oh my god, audit them and find out we owe them, you know, a couple grand here, or it's like, oh, this
since we're giving out tax advice, I'm going to say if you claim home office as a tax exemption, you are really playing with fire in terms of getting audited. This is just life tips.
You got to be careful with Bobby. That stuff.
Yeah. It's also National Take a Wild Guess Day. So, there you go. And tomorrow is National Wear Your Pajamas to Work Day, which, you guys know how I go to work. We're pretty close, quite frankly. We're pretty fucking close.
I think a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people know that's a holiday, so I wouldn't really practice it unless it's been well established at your workplace that's going to be okay.
And it's also National Eggs Benedict Day, which I loves me an Eggs Benny, Mark. I'll be honest.
Sure. Yeah.
A big fan of breakfast food that I can't. I mean, I can, I guess, but I don't make myself. If I'm gonna go to a restaurant.
That one's a little more in depth.
Yeah. I'm making holiday sauce, man. All right. This is what's not. It's not happening. All right. We're talking about UFC 300. I already said it. Let's talk real quickly. I know we said we do it after, but fuck it. I already said it. Conor McGregor's coming back. Mm-hmm. He's coming back on the date he told us he's coming back in December on New Year's Eve. It's fighting Michael Chandler. It's 170 pounds. It's 5 rounds. It's the main event. It's International Fight Week. It's awesome, man. I like when Conor fights.
Yeah. And at least it's not at 185 like we heard before. So, I mean, 170 is at least is in the
wheelhouse. Well, he was so big in that fucking movie. Like, in the movie, yeah, he was like, he's trimmed down since that movie. He was massive in Roadhouse.
He was.
Good to see him back, quite frankly. Again, he's the biggest star the sport's ever had, and I think it's good for him when he's in fight camp too, honestly. Just, you know, one of those guys.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think I feel like he gets in less trouble.
Yeah. I don't know how much trouble he's got. When's the last time he got in trouble? I mean, I know it's a bad bar.
Wasn't it that basketball game? Wasn't it the basketball game like a couple months ago?
He was accused of raping someone and then nothing came of it because I don't know what happened.
Yeah. That was
over a year ago.
Thing I heard. Was it that long ago?
Well, nothing came of it.
Doesn't seem that long ago.
And, I mean, hell, John Jones gets arrested every other fucking, you know, month at this point.
Sure.
And then we also got the announcement of Dustin Poirier versus Khabib Nurmagomedov taking place June 1st in Newark, New Jersey, which Northeast has got I know Khabib is, like, fighting in the Northeast. I think Islam does, too. It's got fans in the area. It was going to be, they offered it to Armin Sarukian, and Armin's like, okay. I'm not fighting Islam on 6 weeks' notice, which
that's true.
I'm sure they'll find a way to punish him for that though. And co-main event: Sean Strickland versus Paulo Costa, 5 rounds.
Weird.
Yeah, Sean Strickland. We know about this fight because they tried to get Sean Strickland to take the fight. They wanted to pay him $200,000. Period.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which all these guys complaining about fighting about pay now. I don't care.
You guys had a moment, guys.
Tough shit.
About a month ago.
Tough titties, boys. All right, UFC 300. The night where Max Holloway became even a bigger fucking star. But where do you want to go, man? Let's go top down. Let's just go with the main event.
Sure.
I know, like, we all went out here last week and we all picked Alex Pereira and the line kept getting closer and closer. Like, when I bet on Alex, he was minus 160. Spoiler alert, he knocked him out in 3 fucking minutes. He got kicked in the dick. Herb wanted to separate him. He's like, nah, I got my distance now. Left hook, dropped, hammer fist, fight over. I know we all went out here, Mark, and like we're just like, oh, yeah. Like, how the fuck's Jamal going to win this fight off of 9 months post-Achilles surgery? I don't think that necessarily was a factor here. I'm just going to give Jamal credit for actually, it may not be the smartest move in the world, wading into the fire here with and standing with Alex Pereira. But you said it yourself last week. You're like, I'm not sure what's a circumstance where I don't pick Alex Pereira because Jamal Hill doesn't take people down. So until proven otherwise, it's kind of hard to pick against this man. And I guess we were proven otherwise against Izzy. But like, if he's not going to get taken down, I'm having a hard time picking against Alex Pereira. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, and I've been fairly vocal that, you know, I do think he's gotten better in those other areas where he's the weakest. But yeah, Jamal Hill wasn't going to really test those waters. We knew he was going to stand and bang with him. And really, we knew Jamal Hill had the power to certainly, you know, put Pereira away, because we've definitely seen Pereira, you know, get finished before, you know, by Izzy. Really, that's really the only MMA fight that we've seen him get knocked out in. But we know Jamal Hill hits very hard. If he can find a clean shot, you know, potentially, yeah, he has a shot here. But stylistically, it was always a bad matchup. When you add in those X factors of him coming off this long injury, it just seemed like this was thrown together maybe a little haphazardly. But even with a full camp, even with him being fully healed, and not to say that either of those were untrue, I don't think this was ever a fight that he was going to be a favorite in my eyes. Right? I just didn't think stylistically he matches up very well with Alex. And I think this fight...
Oh, you're back. Okay. Yeah, tough matchup, honestly. Really tough matchup for Jamal. Jamal's got this thing, by the way, where, like, he thinks everybody fucking hates him. Actually, like, I like Jamal Hill's fighting style. I think he's a really good fighter. I remember, like, when he was going to fight Glover. I mean, I think I talked about Jamal a little bit more than you guys did, because I was a little bit on my radar. He's on my radar a little bit earlier than that, just because I was like, this guy's really good, man. He's icing everybody. And I don't know what happened when he was hurt. Did he decide everybody thinks everybody fucking hates him, and they're all like, he thinks everybody's laughing at him today? Like, I think if he just shut the fuck up, it'd be better, quite frankly, because I think people actually do find him to be an entertaining fighter. He'll be back. I think we'll see him in a title fight again, if I'm being honest, Mark. I think he's young enough. I think he's good enough. I think he's perfectly capable of beating a lot of these guys. I think him and Yuri's a good fight. I think that's the fight, by the way. Like, if they're not going to give Yuri a rematch with Alex right now, I think that's, you book that fight. Like, that's what you do. Yeah.
I think, you know, of this card, we saw four light heavyweights, and they all seemed really good. Because even Alexander Radek in the Yuri fight looked really good in the majority of that fight as well. And I think that would be a fun fight. And I agree with you mostly. I think, yeah, it seemed like Jamal definitely had a chip on his shoulder and kind of thought the world was against him. And it's probably because a lot of people didn't pick him to win this fight, right? For the same reasons I think that we looked at. Not anything to do with him as a person, but just stylistically how he fights was going to match up very well against a seasoned, very technical striker who's also extremely powerful in Alex Pereira. But, you know, his fight with Glover was, I think, was his big come out performance, you know, because you look at some of his other high profile wins, like Johnny Walker and some of the other guys he iced, and they weren't really of the echelon of top contenders. Right. So I think there was, even when he got the Glover fight, it was like, oh, you know, we pushed this guy a little too soon. He hasn't fought a lot of the other title contenders before, even though I think he also beat Santos, right? Thiago Santos. That was another big, big win for him. You're muted, Bob.
They weren't putting him on pay-per-view. He kept fighting in the fucking warehouse. Like, there was that too. Yeah. Like, that's what happens when you try to get me to, they get angry at us for not being behind a fucking card. And they're like, they put these guys in front of four people. Like,
yeah, it seems like maybe he was reading into social media, and I'm sure he got some flack for how he got injured, right, in the celebrity basketball game. You know, I think a lot of people were just disappointed that happened in general. You know, we just got another changing of the guard. We wanted to see him versus Yuri. And then because of this kind of like silly injury playing a basketball game. And then maybe there was something with, you know, the domestic abuse he had with his brother, which just seemed kind of silly and weird.
I mean, like, he beat Glover's ass like he owed him money. He beat him 50-44 in front of his own people. Like, that was a slaughter.
Yeah.
And like, he'll be back, man. I think Jamal's a good fighter. Alex, man, if Alex wants to fight in 3 weeks, he has a broken toe, by the way, but if he broke it three weeks ago, if he wants to fight a heavyweight in Brazil to save this, man, this card, I mean, it's not a good card. Let me start with that. This pay-per-view in 3 weeks, UFC 301, it is made even worse by these last three ones we had. Like, is the one they sacrificed. If he wants to fight a heavyweight, fucking call up the Biggie Boy. See if the Biggie Boy wants to fight Poatan.
Sure, yeah, that'd work.
I mean, they don't want to maybe roll the dice on that, and like, I think they might have just sacrificed this card for what it is. This is one of those ones where they get their minimum pay from ESPN and call it a day.
Yeah.
But like, if he wants to do that, do that. If he wants to, and like, I saw Magomed Ankalaev, who's fucking, Magomed Ankalaev, Mark, is 18-1-1 with a no contest. And like, 10 finishes in those 18 wins. Like, I think people have decided he's a boring fighter more than he even is. Like, no one gives a slightest shit about him.
Yeah, I think the Jan fight was really where he could have made the statement, right? It was his title shot, and it kind of just, it came out not to be a very fun fight. It turned into a draw, and he hasn't fought since. So it's just kind of like, I think a lot of people...
He had the Johnny Walker exchange, where he blatantly cheated. Remember when he blatantly illegally kneeled Johnny Walker? That was after. He blatantly illegally kneeled Johnny Walker. Somehow got out of that with a no contest instead of a DQ, by the way. It was still, I'm still unhappy about. And then he fought Johnny Walker and knocked him out in the warehouse, I think, in January. I'm assuming that was January 13th, Vegas. Sounds like the warehouse. He wants that fight, and he wants to fight in Abu Dhabi, which if I'm fucking Pereira, I'm like, fuck you. I'm not going to Abu Dhabi. Kiss my ass. Like, we're fighting in Brazil or something, or we're fighting Vegas. Like, I'm not going all the way there. Okay, they can do that. I just have no interest. This sport's not a meritocracy anymore. I don't care if he's 18-1 and the number three contender. I don't care.
Yeah.
They can do it. They can not do it.
Yeah, it's not fun. Yeah.
But whatever. I mean, I don't think Ankalaev necessarily beats him. I know he's gonna be hard.
It's a tough sell, right, on just like that he doesn't have much star power. And stylistically, it could be a tough matchup, right? If he's able to take Alex down and ground him and, you know, finish him on the ground or just make it kind of a boring fight, it's like, well, now we have this guy who doesn't have much drawing power, who doesn't have a style that's very, you know, fan pleasing. And we just lost a champion who has all those things, right? A guy who has a style that the fans like, who the fans are really behind. And you know, you lose a lot if Alex.
Let's not ruin this, man. We're having a good time. Let's not ruin this.
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, I want to see Alex Pereira fight Tom Aspinall, because fuck it, why not? Just put that out there. I'm not saying it's gonna go well. It might go real bad. He just got his black belt. You see, he knocked that man out and handed him a black belt.
Yeah. Like, he submitted him from his consciousness and got a black belt for it.
Max Holloway was on Pat McAfee's show today, and Pat's just like, yo, man, they're going to give you a black belt in jiu-jitsu for knocking down your guy out too? And Max is like, I don't think so, man. I don't know what's going on over there. that was
weird, but whatever.
Dude, think about this, man. This dude was just on a bar stool in Brazil, right? Like Pereira. Like, what, 5 years ago or something like that? That's the story, right? He was on a bar stool. He was like drunk at a bar.
He wasn't even kickboxing.
He wasn't doing anything. He was done. And then Izzy talked shit. And now here we are. Like, he just fucking... Someone said he summoned the fucking boogeyman. And now everybody else has to deal with this. Like, good for him, man. Dude's now beaten 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 UFC champions in 7 UFC fights.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I'm sorry, 8 UFC fights. He lost 1, 2, but... Yeah.
Right.
How the fuck did he make 185? Do you see how big this man is? He's 230 pounds, they said. What?
Yeah. Those cuts must have been pretty brutal.
Dude, how he came back in that fifth round and then beat Izzy in that one? Wild. Wild.
Yeah.
Co-main event. Wei Li versus Jan. And we're going to have to go fast because there's too many fights. The whole time, you know me, I've been complaining. I don't understand why this fight wasn't in China. And let me tell you, when this fucking fight started at like 9:30 or whatever it was on the West Coast or however late it was, I really was wondering why it didn't happen in fucking China, because I was like, this does not need to be here. These poor women have to follow this fucking Max Holloway fight. And that crowd did not seem to care a lot for most of this fight, Mark. Jan got choked out at the end of the first round, got woken up. Her corner got accused of a violation by Daniel Cormier, just because that's what we do now. He's like, oh, I think it was smelling salts. No, there weren't. Don't just say stuff, DC. Jesus. And then in the second round, she could have gotten stopped from ground and pound. And then she won the third round. And then going into the fourth, I remember, like, I was like telling my girlfriend, I'm like, I think Jan might just come win this. Because Wei Li looked like she was cooked. Like, Wei Li looked like, yo, I need a Gatorade and like a nap after that, afterwards. She was exhausted. But she made it through, man. Wei Li did not look good on her feet at all. Like, she got destroyed on her feet, honestly, the whole time. She was getting picked apart. She looked great on the ground. She looked really good on the ground. It's Tatiana Suarez time, right? That's what we're doing? Do we all agree on this? Can we get Tatiana Suarez out there?
I think she's right there, right? I'm trying to think of anyone else at the weight division. Because there's a couple contenders, I think, right?
I think we confused the way we saw it.
Yeah, we got 25. And
so it's Jan was number one contender. Tatiana was number two.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Lemos, who I think lost already.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I think she. Yeah. She, I think she and lost then the belt.
Jessica
already,
Andrade is who Whaley beat for the. No, who she beat?
Right.
Now, who beat Tudor?
Well, Jessica lost to Jan and Whaley.
Oh yeah. So Jessica lost the Whaley's first title reign was when they made poor Jessica go to China, like six mm-hmm. weeks after winning the belt. That was horseshit still to fight Jan. To fight Whaley. Yeah, it's clearly you want to make Tatiana fight somebody first, you can, but that's what I want to see. It's Tatiana Suarez time. I've been waiting years. Let's go. Jan needs to tighten up that grappling. Like, because her stand-up is excellent. Like, she's ahead of a lot of these women, technically. Didn't she ice Jessica Andrade too?
I think she beat her, yeah.
Yeah, I think
I think that was the big win that got her.
She put her out too. Like, she put her out, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jan is good. I want to see that. And they're both, I think Whaley's 34. Let's go. Tatiana time. Let's do this thing. So.
Yeah, why not?
I don't have anything else to say about this fight. Do you?
No, I mean, I thought it was a fun fight, you know. I mean, like you said, Jan basically got choked out at the end of the first, almost lost in the second from ground and pound. I think you could easily score those two 10-8 rounds. So then Jan would have to, even if, in my book, I think those were both two 10-8 rounds. Like, she literally almost lost the fight in both those rounds. And then, you know, in the third, she was able to come back, dropped Whaley. In the fourth, she dropped Whaley again, but Whaley was able to get her down and do enough damage to come back and cut that round. And then she sealed it in the fifth. Overall, it was a pretty decent fight, but I think it coming after the BMF fight was tough.
So only round that was scored, all three judges scored a second round 10-8. So that was the only one.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
About half the adult population seems to have scored the first round, though, as a 10-8.
Yeah. I mean, she literally was unconscious when the round
yeah,
ended.
Yeah, I mean, what do you want
now,
to do?
Now, granted, Whaley, like, the bell rung.
She held on.
You know, she didn't let go of that. Yeah, she didn't let
she
go of
She gave a little tug.
Yeah.
Whaley's reign continues, man. Okay. I don't know what else we can say about Max Holloway and Justin Gaethje, because I can confidently say, Mark, everybody saw this knockout now, because the UFC didn't exactly like try to hide it. Mm-hmm. It is everywhere. Yeah. ESPN shows were leading it off today. Max Holloway put on a clinic. To put it simply, and the way I saw the fight, Justin made a fatal error and did not take the jab away. He made no effort to take the jab away from Max. You can't do that. If Max has got his jab going, you're cooked. And I'm sure the eye pokes helped. But Justin came back in the fourth, right? Is when he technically mm-hmm. didn't count as a drop. They said he didn't drop him, which I don't know. That looked like a drop to me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. And Max was just like, yeah, I guess Max was joking. Because like, I guess it was a slip. But Max is like, pretty much saying, like, I got dropped. First one ever to do it.
Watch it. He gets punched. Yeah.
First person ever to do it. And then Max comes back in the fifth, kicking his ass some more. He broke his nose with a spinning heel kick in the second, was it?
The end of the first.
End of the first. That kind of was a problem, pretty much at that point forward for Justin.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the last 10 seconds, he pointed to the middle of the octagon and said, let's fucking throw. Because as Max put it, he said, Justin Gaethje would do the same for me. Which, I don't know about that, but sure. And then with 1 second left, Justin Gaethje got hit with the entirety of the force Max Holloway's capable of, I think. That's as hard as Max Holloway throws punches. And led to maybe like seven of the coolest punches, photos I've ever seen. Like there's a couple of them where like Gaethje's going down face first with blood splatter and Max's like fist is still up. And I'm like, that is the type of thing. If I'm Max, I get someone to paint and hang up in my gym.
sure.
That was like maybe that is like top. I can't think of many. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure. I think of moments I like more. Like I yelled so loud on that one. That was so cool. That's like a top five all time UFC moment for me, man. That was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Max is just a dog, man, and I love that he's finally after being maybe the greatest featherweight ever or top. Everybody's held that featherweight belt's a legend, but like him getting attention now, mainstream. Well earned, man. It's like Masvidal getting like all the attention he did, like well fucking earned on a guy who like did that. And I just want to ask you, man, did everybody write this dude off a bit too soon because he couldn't beat Alec Volkanovski? Because he's only 32, I think, or 31. Like,
I think 32.
Yeah.
I think going into the fight, a lot of people, including all of us here, favored Justin because we hadn't really seen Max carry that kind of power. Right. The only time you really saw him, from what I remember, you know, in recent history, him just like really dominating and flatlining somebody was the Korean Zombie fight. Right. And we talked about it last week. We're like, in that second, I think it was the second round of that fight, like Korean Zombie just went nuts. Like he's like, I'm just going to go balls out and just kind of go a little reckless. And Max was able to catch him with a good shot and put him away. But outside of that, Max had never really been known as a power puncher. So it seemed going into this fight, you know, if Max was going to win, he was really going to have to dictate a lot of the fight on the outside, use his accumulation and his just output to just overwhelm Gaethje. And that's kind of what happened. But more so, we saw a lot of his punches have a lot more sting on them and really stunned Gaethje. And I also think that that kick that broke his nose really affected Gaethje. I think a couple of things. I think Gaethje had a hard time getting in, negating some of that range. Now, he was able to use a low kick from the outside to pretty good extent, but he really didn't look comfortable exchanging punches with him. He had to wade into the pocket and would throw these big looping punches, which Max saw coming, was able to deflect or get out of the way. Until the fourth round, that's kind of where he started to get his timing a little bit better and was able to be a little bit more active and was able to land some shots on Max. But it seemed like a lot of it was him on the outside trying to find ways to counter, and Max just wasn't having those holes. So, for me, really, it was just like Justin really didn't perform like we usually see him perform. He's usually really good at pulling the trigger, right? You don't see him on the outside for very long before he's able to get in the pocket and start exchanging punches.
He's not used to being slower. Max looked big. Max, when they said like he'd put on muscles when he was taking his like shirt off at the fucking prep point, and I looked at his back and I was like, oh, he looks like he's a little bit like, he got a little beefed up for this one. Max put on some muscle for this time. Last time it didn't go well.
Which he talked about before, like leading up to this fight, he did talk about how he had more time to prepare. He talked about last time he fought Poirier, I think his coach was calling him Max Muffin Top because he put on the weight incorrectly, right? It was a lot of, like,
it was very short notice last time, I think, too. It was like 3 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, so it sounded like he used that time to bulk up correctly, which made it more interesting to me to hear that he wants to go back down to featherweight after he looked so good at lightweight, but maybe he's going to be able to...
Well, he called out both, right? He called out both of them, and then Islam got a fight, so I think he's just like, well, I might as well fight for the other belt. There's more money.
Yeah.
He said it, remember I sent you the thing, I think, when he said, like, probably should get paid more for this. I need a new contract, because they're using me and Justin to promote this entire card. And now I'm just like, yeah, Max definitely deserves a new contract. They're going to have to give him a couple more bucks for the next one.
This was a star-making performance, right? And like you said, like, it's sad that it's taken this long because Max has been there and been that guy for a long time. But I think during his featherweight reign, right, I think he was fairly popular at that time. He always had a lot of fan support, but he wasn't putting on those performances like he did in this one, right? Like, this was a really coming out performance where he was putting on a lot of damage. He was fighting against a very dangerous opponent that he was, you know, supposed to lose against. And then obviously the epic ending, right? Which I think was, I saw some people say like, oh, why did Justin do that? I mean, Justin had to do that. Like, that was the only way he had any shot to win that fight, was to land a big haymaker in the center of the ring. So it's lucky that Max even allowed that opportunity to come. Obviously it cost him the fight. And it was a bad KO, really. He went face down and he was down for a while. He sustained a lot of damage in this fight. So, you know, hopefully his longevity hasn't, you know, got cut too short off of this one, but this was a huge fight for Max. And now he has a lot of options, right? I think people want to see him at 155. I think the narrative now is going to be that he absolutely can hang at 155. We're going into this fight. That was a huge question. It was just like, we saw him at 55 before and he did not perform very well against Poirier. How is he going to do here? He snatched it with flying colors. So now I think he has a lot of options. I think the Ilya fight is really intriguing and fun. I'm questioning the inverse of, like, you know, can he cut back to 145 now that he's put on some muscle? How is he going to perform there? It'll be interesting. Those are two really fun fights. I think the Ilya fight, from a stylistic standpoint, I'm also more interested in. The Islam fight.
He's a harder matchup for Ilya, man, than Alex is, because, like, he's going to have to knock Max out. The way Max fights and the way Ilya fights, Ilya's going to lose rounds. Like, he's going to have to put him away. I don't think he's going to win three rounds fighting the way he does against Max. Just my two cents. Not that he can't knock out Max. I think he's perfectly capable of. That kid's got the death touch. Like, he hits like a truck, too. But yeah. By the way, someone said, like, here we go. Max Holloway has now made $1.15 million in performance bonuses in his career. That is a sad statement that he's like 17 of these deep. And now he's crossed that much for like what he's done.
Well, you have to remember that like they're usually only making 50. Right?
It used to be like 70 when like before like this company bought this, but before the UFC got whatever. Fuck the money. Good for him getting 600. He got fight of the night was him and Matt, him and Justin. Performance was him and man we'll talk to about shortly, Jiří Procházka, who fights like a psychopath. Man, poor Justin. Justin probably already was Justin deserved a title shot already for head cooking Dustin. Takes this fight,
right,
and then loses it, and now Dustin beats some other guy. Now Dustin's getting a title shot, and it's kind of fucked up. Because Justin wants to be world champ. People have this impression of Justin Gaethje where he's just here to fucking swing and bang. He wants to be world champion. He says it. He's like, when he won the interim title, he threw it on the ground and said, I want the real one. Not that I think he was going to beat Islam, but fuck, man. Poor guy. Armin Sarukian and Charles Oliveira. I'm just going to start off by saying you can't fight the fans. Don't do that shit. Don't do
that. Yeah, I don't know exactly what the circumstance was there, but he definitely tried to punch somebody. Oh, that was it? Okay. He definitely tried to punch somebody in the audience, which was insane.
I mean, my Armenian brother. Me and the Iranians and Armenians share a kinship, and let me tell you, we are a hot-headed group, and you got to be better than that. Man, I thought he was cooked a minute in. I thought that if his hand wasn't like, he had like a couple fingers in, right, on that guillotine that Charles had him in. It looked like he looked like he was cooked, even with the fingers, and I thought he was about to tap out. Like, that was wild. Recovered, won the second round, hit a fuck. When did he hit the axe kick? That was wild when he hit the axe kick.
I think that might have been in the first.
That was sick. That was sick. This man's good, man. Third round, close round. I thought he won. I thought Armin won. Like, that choke at the end, people are looking at, but I'm like, don't think it was in because the bell rang and this man just stood up like nothing was happening to him. That's not much of a choke at that point. Charles's style is more built for five rounds, bro. I think it just is. Just the way he fights. What'd you think? I thought Armin looked good. Honestly, I want to see him fight Islam. What'd you think?
I thought it was good. I thought it was a really close fight. And it really just comes to how you judge that last round and how you judge that last submission. And I think the Dars was a few steps from being locked in more. Like, you kind of need to engage with your lower body to finish the Dars, whether you're wrapping up the legs or you're turning or you're using the turn to kind of like put more pressure. Because just laying on him like that, it's hard to get that choke. It's possible, but you're really just choking with the arms. But yeah, overall, I mean, I don't necessarily agree that Charles is necessarily built for five rounds, because we've seen a lot of times he finishes these fights. And we saw in this fight.
Like, I just think him winning decisions is tough. The way he fights, just the way I think, the way he hangs it on bottom so much that, like, even in 2024, I think you're just losing by impression that you're like below a guy. You know?
Yeah, I think there's still some kind of mixed feelings about. Because I mean, you know, now that the new judging criteria is all about damage, how much do you give points for getting, you know, near submission attempts, and how do you judge if a submission is, you know, a close catch or not, right? I think those are a little more ambiguous. It's tougher to...
If you're on the ground, you should be able to kick a motherfucker. If you're on the ground and he's on the ground, you should be able to kick a motherfucker in the head. Just my two cents.
Sure,
that should be allowed.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think it was really close. And I don't think either guy is going to lose much stock. I mean, obviously, Armin doesn't lose much stock, but like, it kind of showed that he can hang with the best of the best, because I do think Charles is one of the best 155ers. And it showed that Charles is right there, too. It's not like, you know, the new generation is coming up and just smoking the old guard. You know, Charles was extremely game, had him caught in multiple submissions. It was extremely close fight that, you know, he just lost by a hair, lost by split decision. So, you know, it's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes. But yeah, it was a decent fight overall, but, you know, nothing too crazy. But yeah, I think Armin should definitely be in title contention, but that title is definitely seeing some weird stuff going on with Poirier getting the shot, and now Holloway's in the mix. So we'll see how the cards lay, but he might have to fight another fight just to stay relevant, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. That was Yeah, they're not gonna find a way to punish him. They'll find a way to punish him for not taking this fight on 6 weeks' notice. Just, I think so. Charles will be back. Someone finally got through this whole like thing where like people wanted like someone to get through the Dustin, Justin, Charles, you know, barricade.
Right.
Benoit didn't get through. Fizave didn't get through. Benil's old. He didn't get through. This kid got through, man. I mean, what's the name? Didn't get through.
Yeah, the guy that beat Armin.
Didn't get through either. I should know his name. I feel bad. He's an excellent fighter.
Yeah, I'm blanking on it too.
Starts with an M, I think. Whatever. Gamrot. Mateus Gamrot. There it is.
Yes.
Gamrot. That he didn't get through. Like Armin got through. So that's good for him, man. Good for him.
Yeah.
Excellent weight class. Needs more blood. Needs new blood. All right. Man, I thought Bo Nickel. There's not a lot to break down here, really. I just think that, like, he didn't need to be so hard on himself. And I also think he would not be getting this kind of pressure if they didn't put him on the main card of a fucking pay-per-view. I don't think he needed to be on the main card. I also think he should have been in ESP. I've just been in the middle of the prelims because more people watch the prelims anyway. I think this kid needs to fight every 3-4 months, Mark. I think that's it. Just keep having him move up, fight every 3 months. Well, let's not get cute with this and have him wait 8 months so we can put him on this fucking card where if he doesn't hit the guy with a Hadouken in the first minute, it's going to be a disappointment. Like that kind of hype that's around him. He was a minus like 2,500 favorite. And Cody Brundage was just like a good enough wrestler where he's like, I'm not going to give this kid anything if I can. I got near the fence and it was hard for him to work. And I don't know. What'd you think, man?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it was good to see Bo get more time in the octagon. I think Brundage, you know, displayed a higher level of capabilities in there that Bo hadn't seen before. He wasn't just going to roll over, right? Like, and I think the wrestling was something that Cody was able to hang with Bo for the most part, right? More so than these other guys. Like, I think so
he was an All American, they said, or something. He was like a one AA All American or something.
Yeah, I'm not even sure exactly what his grappling regimen was, but you can see early on, like, okay, this guy knows how to grapple. He's not just going to make some rookie mistakes. And Bo's going to have to, you know, dig a little deeper. He's not just going to catch him. The aura of Bo didn't beat Cody, right? Like, he had to actually use skill and tactics to do it, which was good. It was good to see that because that's why I didn't think we were going to see. Knowing nothing about Cody, I thought Bo was just going to run over another guy we didn't know about, and we'd learn nothing. Right? What we saw was like, okay, when Bo can't just, you know, completely dominate the top game, he can be stifled a little bit. You know, they found themselves in a stalemate at the end of the round. You know, Bo ultimately was able to get the back and get the choke and finish the fight, and he was very critical of his performance because I think a lot of fans were probably critical of his performance not being as impressive as it has been. But that's going to happen, right? As you get tested more, you're going to run into people that you're not just going to be able to steamroll. And it was just good to see them match him up with somebody that we didn't know, but was able to give him a significant challenge to have him work in there a little bit more. So, yeah, we need to see him progress more. And I think it's time that we get him. We get to see him against more named opposition, maybe not even ranked, but someone where we kind of have like Brad Tavares at this point.
Right? I just want to see activity, man. That's it. I just want to see activity. I just want to see him fighting often. He's 6-0. Like, let's, like, yeah, if we're gonna say, like, dude is, he might beat a lot of these guys in the top five right now at this weight class, you know? Just saying. Next, we had Jiří Prochazka, Alexander Rakic. Joe Rogan made me laugh in this one, Mark. Which he's a comedian. You think you'd make me laugh more often, but I'm not sure how much he was trying to make me laugh, what he said. Jiří really puts defense on the back burner because that made me laugh hard because this dude did not give a fuck what Alexander Rakic was doing. His leg was getting chopped up. Didn't give a shit. He looked pissed off just walking this dude down. And eventually, like, Alex made a mistake, left an opening, boom. Dead. Knockout. It gives me anxiety watching Jiří fight. Dude's hands are in his pockets, basically, Mark. What'd you think of his performance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was a tough outing. And we kind of knew going into this was going to be, you know, stylistically, you know, Alexander had shown that he's a really good stand-up fighter. And it was going to be interesting to see how these two played out. And he was able to, take away his lead leg very quickly. Jiří had to fight from southpaw for most of the fight, And you could tell that he wasn't nearly as comfortable there. But Alexander was also very uncomfortable striking with someone from southpaw. Like, his offense really was stifled. But you can just kind of tell Yuri wasn't able to throw the punches as comfortable as he was. And it wasn't until, I think it was that second round, where he was like, okay, I can go back to orthodox momentarily just so I can throw some punches, and I have to go back to southpaw. Because anytime he was in orthodox, Alexander was just busting up that leg. And that leg was compromised fairly early in this fight. So Yuri really had to dig deep in this fight to win it, right? Alexander was dominating. He was causing a lot of damage. He was causing Yuri to fight in a different style than he's used to. But he pulled it out, right? And that was that. I mean, for me, I think the Gaethje-Holloway fight deservedly should have been fight of the night, but I kind of think this one should have been too. I kind of feel bad for Alexander to come back after his injury, be gone for so long, have to fight someone like Yuri, who I consider to be one of the top light heavyweight guys, and to put on the performance he did, where I think he was dominating the fight. I think he was causing Yuri a lot of problems, but ultimately the fight slipped through his fingers because Yuri was able to find a way to win. And I think a lot of it had to do with his determination. Like you said, you can just look at his face, facial expressions. He was so determined to win this fight that even when he was getting damaged, even when he had to compromise how he was fighting, he still had full belief that he was going to be able to pull it off. And he did. So kudos to him. You're muted, Bob.
Jimmy Miller and Bobby Green also, despite being a bit one-sided, that was a hell of a fight too. That was another guy who probably, you know, yeah, probably deserved a bit of a check there, but mm-hmm. Dana White doesn't show up that early for fights. Aljamain Sterling, Calvin Kattar. Look, feel like I'm the resident Aljamain Sterling guy on this podcast. I'm just going to say this. I don't know what the fuck people's expectations are of a guy who fights the way, who's a grappler, fighting a goddamn excellent kickboxer in Calvin Kattar. Aljamain Sterling, first fight in a new weight class, fighting a guy with a 92% takedown defense. You know what Calvin Kattar's takedown defense is today, folks? It's 72%. Because he got taken down 8 fucking times in a 15-minute fight. That is an excellent job by Aljamain Sterling. Would have liked to finish him. He kept working for the backpack. The man lives to get your back. That's Aljo's entire life, is if he can get your back, maybe get a choke in. Kattar's got good takedown defense. I mean, he was doing what he could, but he got him down 8 of 13 times, which, excellent. Almost 11 minutes of control time. Kattar knew what he was getting into when he signed up, when this fight got booked. This was it. This is how it was going to go. I thought for a first fight at 145, I thought he did great. Honestly, I thought he looked strong. He didn't look like he was tired. Aljo sometimes looks like he's getting, like he's fading a little bit. Thought he looked great. Thought he looked big. I was overall thought successful debut at 145. What'd you think, Mark?
Yeah, I think why people are so tough on Sterling is, and in this fight's a good example of it, there's moments of brilliance. Mm. Like, there's parts of this fight, especially early on, where it's like, this dude looks fantastic. He looks great. He's fun to watch. And then I think because, and ultimately, you know, I think we just see this when we see people who are athletes versus fighters, right? You look at a guy like Max Holloway or Justin Gaethje. These guys are fighters, right? They want to go in there and fight and kill and knock out. And then you have athletes who want to win, right? And I think Sterling's an athlete who wants to win. So when we see these moments of brilliance, and then we see him start to dominate, and I think sometimes when he's dominating, he doesn't feel the necessity to take big risks, to try to go for the finish, unless it materializes, right? And I think you start seeing that towards the end of this fight, where it's like he got him down again, and I think he had him in side control for a long time. And the boost started getting a little bit like, okay, like he's not doing much here. He's kind of just controlling him. It's a little boring. At that same moment, Calvin starts getting up, and Sterling fucking power bombs him, yeah, you know, from a small
DC
position.
Was being real shitty for being up. A goddamn wrestler. I was like, DC, I saw you lay on top of Anderson Silva for 15 minutes at UFC 200. What are we talking about? Like, I don't know. By the way, Calvin Kattar's been finished twice in his whole fucking career, and one of them was a knee injury. Like, the man has not been finished in a fight since he got tapped out in his fourth pro fight 15 years ago. Like, people aren't finishing Calvin Kattar. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the expectation was. You were frozen. I'm not sure if you can hear me at all, Mark. Marcus, don't know if you can hear me, but reconnect. All right. As I passionately defend my guy, Aljamain Sterling. I will vamp momentarily here and slow the roll here as we try to get Mark to reconnect. You tell the man he's disconnected. But yeah, Aljo, first fight at 145. I really like the idea of Aljamain Sterling taking on Brian Ortega. I think that's actually a really cool fight idea. I know a lot of people thought Brian beating, I forgot who Ortega beat, to be honest. Yair, right? Brian Ortega beat Yair Rodriguez. A lot of people thought after he beat Yair, this is time to book Brian Ortega versus Ilia Topuria for a title shot. I don't, I obviously Max usurped him there. Ortega fighting Max is fighting Aljo is interesting because Ortega would invite the ground at that point. And we'd have a pretty interesting grappling battle. Or honestly, if he can stop him from taking him down, Brian might just beat his ass all over the place because his stand-up is much better than Aljamain's. Not fair. Aljo's not a bad stand-up fighter necessarily, but not on the level of Ortega, especially with Ortega's finishing ability. Anyway, continuing down the line here at UFC 300, we had the UFC debut of Miss Kayla Harrison taking on the former champ Holly Holm. I still don't understand how Kayla made 135 pounds. That she's huge. She is a massive, massive specimen who does not appear to have any body fat either, which, you know, is a wild statement, but you saw her look like she was chiseled out of granite. Holly Holm decided to engage in the clinch with Kayla and reversed her, actually. Ultimately, though, letting her get her hands on her, not the greatest greatest decision that that she made. But Kayla, second round, took care of business. Got in there. Finished her with a rear naked choke about 2 minutes into the second round. People are concerned there's going to be some snooze fest. People got this impression that maybe Kayla's not the most exciting fighter in the world. She did work, man. She did work. She went out there. She wants a title shot. And not only does she want a title shot, but sounds like Amanda Nunes interested in fighting her. Which, the UFC's in an interesting position now because do we just do Amanda Nunes? Do we ask Amanda Nunes to come back now and fight Kayla Harrison? Do we do Kayla Harrison versus Rocky Pennington? And I'd favor Kayla in that fight. But, you know, shit happens. And then we wait and see then. And then we have Kayla Amanda coming back for her title at that point. So, I don't know. It's decision time for the UFC. I like the idea. I heard that Raquel Pennington might be hurt. So that might muddy the water a little bit. But if Amanda Nunes wants to, wants to come back and get her belt. I mean, I'm getting the impression more and more that this lady retired just out of sheer boredom. Of just lack of contenders after she laid waste to this division. She wants to come back and fight Kayla Harrison. I'd love to see it. Because God knows, this weight class needs help. This weight class needs help bad. Because, hell, it's partly Amanda's fault that it needs help. She kicked everybody's ass. Went in there and just whooped everyone's ass, and now here we are. So we'll see where they go from here. I think Mark's just reconnecting right now. In the meantime, I'll talk about my guy Diego Lopez because I'm here waving the Diego Lopez flag on this podcast, partly because of my girlfriend, partly because the dude just does not believe in anything when putting his foot on the gas. It's all offense all the time with Diego Lopez. Knocked out Super Sadiq Youssef, who's a great fighter, man. Sadiq Youssef is a great fighter at 30 years old. Back-to-back tough losses now, Edson Barboza and Diego Lopez, but two losses by knockout in his career now. Diego Lopez and an early fight over at Titan FC to Luis Gomez. Diego Lopez now, I think his back-to-back wins for the gentleman are three in a row now. Gavin Tucker, Pat Sabatini, and Sadiq Youssef. And that Movsar Evalev fight was tough, man. He gave Movsar Evalev everything he wanted and then some. So we'll see where he goes from here. I'm trying to see if he's ranked at this point after after all that. Because that was an excellent performance by the Lobo Gym member, Diego Lopez, the man with like a seriously questionable haircut. Let's see, was this gentleman ranked? He just took out number 13, Sadiq Youssef. So welcome to the rankings, Diego Lopez, man. Diego Lopez now probably ranked in the bottom and 11 to 15 range. Dan Ige sounds like a fun fight to me, you know? Maybe Barboza sounds like a banger. If Bryce Mitchell's brains have been unscrambled, maybe that fight even, another one. But Diego Lopez, man, is 24 wins, 6 losses, has really didn't get to the UFC until he had 26 fights, and he's now 3-1. And again, that only loss being to Movsar Eveliev. So, big win for Mr. Lopez. Moving to the early prelims, we had Renato Moicano and Jalen Turner. Man, I was wrong about this one. Most of us, actually all of us were wrong except for Mike, and Mike said he was picking with his heart. Not sure we all anticipated Jalen Turner fighting like a big dumbass. Jalen Turner dropped Money Moicano and decided the fight was over before anybody else did, because Money Moicano was still there. Granted, 2 follow-up shots and we probably were going home, but Jalen Turner thought the walk-off knockout was his path to $300,000, and instead my man's going back home with half his check. So that is now lost 3 of 4 fights for Jalen Turner, who has all the ability in the world, man. All the ability in the world, Jalen Turner. But after winning 5 straight fights, he has now lost 3 of 4. 2 of those are splits. Gamrot and Hooker fights were splits. This weight in that Hooker fight killed Bobby Green. Killed Bobby Green so badly that, like, man, Jalen Turner fucked up 2 picks for me, basically, because he whooped Bobby Green's ass so badly that I picked Jalen Turner to win in this fight, and I picked Bobby Green to lose in his fight, and 0 for 2 there. Money Moicano, God bless Money Moicano, that psychopath. You want him to win just so he can talk to people on the mic, just so you can hand him the microphone and let him talk. Man announced a podcast and pretty much tried to strong-arm Joe Rogan into being his first guest, which I'm not entirely clear if that worked, to be honest. Because Joe Rogan, I think the only person he committed to being committed to was having Max Holloway on his show, because Joe knows. Joe knows Max deserved that. He deserves the pub there. But yeah, Jalen Turner, man, I was just disappointed. I mean, Durantula's got all this. He's only 28, man. He's not done by any means. But this is a rough stretch here. And that was a bad loss. That is snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, as they say, right? The opposite of the favorite term there. I really need Mark to come back. I'll be honest, folks. I'm uncomfortable talking by myself, but I'm doing my best here to keep the train going here. Next up, Jessica Andrade, Marina Rodriguez. This is the one I really need Mark for, because this is the fight I straight up missed. I missed this entire thing. Because I was walking my dog. Because decisions need to be made, folks. And when there's 13 fights and you got a dog that needs to pee, you got to decide which is the fight that's going to suffer. And after the bloodletting we got in the Jim Miller-Bobby Green fight, seemed appropriate that this is the time to take a break. Jessica Andrade wins again. Split decision. A lot of people thought Jessica Andrade was going to smoke her. A lot of people thought Jessica Andrade was going to get a finish here, especially because Marina Rodriguez's propensity to losing by knockout. That's not fair. She's got 1 loss by knockout. But Jessica Andrade does hit like a Mack truck. And of her 26 wins, she got 10 knockouts. Nice to see her get another W, man. Jessica was in a bit of bad shape there, man, fighting way too often in 2023. She got 5 fights in 11 months, lost 3 of them, got finished in those 3 too, to Blanchfield, Jon Jonan, and Tatiana Suarez, which is all top 3 right there, fighters, so no shame in that. smoked Mackenzie Dern, got a big win over Marina Rodriguez here, and, you know, she may not be done, man. She's 32. She's 32. We'll see what she's got left here. But, yeah, Jessica Andrade with a big win over Marina Rodriguez. Second fight of the card was Jim Miller taking on Bobby Green. I think I wanted this one, folks, more than reality was kicking in, because I thought Jim Miller looked pretty good to begin with, because Bobby Green was doing that thing where every time he got hit, he acted like he wasn't getting hit. And then at a certain point, he was just fucking Jim Miller's world up. Jim Miller looked horrible when it was over. It looked like a horror movie. Blood all over the place. Which is interesting, because when Jim Miller fought at UFC 100 and the mat was covered in blood, it was because of what he did when he just kicked the shit out of Mac Danzig. Jim Miller just... That was a rough one, man. Broken hand, broken toe, you know, 23 stitches. He's not done. He's not making it to UFC 400, but I don't think he's done. I think he's got a few more fights in him. The man's got just an insane number of fights. So we'll see what's going on with Jim Miller. But yeah, Bobby Green needed that, man. After that last one, I was worried about, Bobby Green. That was rough. I went back and watched it with Junior. We started counting the number of pod punches he took. That was unnecessary. And it was like 12. Referee was a real, like, if he dies, he dies, type situation there. So we'll see. Jim, he won. Bobby Green wants Paddy Pimblett. I guess Paddy Pimblett was talking shit. And, Paddy Pimblett, saw his reaction to the, what's it called fight? To the Max and, the Justin fight, to the Gaethje Holloway finish. In one of the many fighters who went, oh, Paddy Pimblett looks like he's like 200 pounds. So, let's get that man back in the gym. And him and Bobby Green actually sounds like a pretty competitive matchup. Don't know if Bobby's still ranked. Bobby Green's ranked 14. So, seems like an opportunity for, Paddy to maybe get ranked at the end of this thing if he wins. Man, lightweight is tough. Lightweight is tough when, like, 10 through 15 is Jalen Turner, Benoit Saint-Denis, Rafael Dos Anjos, Renato Moicano, Bobby Green, and Matt Frivola. Every one of those guys will fuck up your day. Just beat you up. Just beat you up horribly. So, but yeah, big win for Bobby Green. Big, big, big win for King Bobby Green, who... Man was out there talking about how he's got four houses and there's one for each of his kids and they're all paid off. And I remember thinking where Bobby Green was coming from like 10 years ago and the struggles he's had. And good for him, man. Good for him getting his life together. Curtin Jerkin. Davison Figueiredo and Cody Garbrandt. You know it's a good card when you got two former champions, Curtin Jerkin. I thought, honestly, I thought that Cody Garbrandt looked pretty good. I think Cody Garbrandt has looked pretty good recently, too, quite frankly. He lost this one, obviously, in the second round. He got choked, but I thought he won the first. I think most people actually did, or it was very competitive. The shots started landing, you know. Eventually got on top of him, got the choke in, and you could tell he was frustrated, man. It's the first time Cody Garbrandt's ever been submitted in a fight. Mark, I can't tell if you're actually there or not.
Yeah, can you hear me now, Bob?
Sorry. I can hear you, sorry. I kind of went through the rest of the card here, buddy, because I was just talking.
I appreciate the show going on without me. I'm on my phone now, so we'll see how this works.
Well, you know what, man? The only fight I didn't see... And if you got any insight, as because I said, big win for Jessica Andrade, now two in a row. After a bit of a schneid, she was on there. Actually, it might be three in a row. It's either two or three in a row for Jessica Andrade. But what do you think of her performance against Marina Rodriguez? It was a close fight, from what I can tell.
Yeah, it was really close. Rodriguez was actually doing a really good job working on the outside. keeping Jessica at bay with her punches. And it honestly just looked like she just started running out of gas. And Jessica was able to start taking over the second and third round. Yeah, so it was really weird because it was one of those performances where Jessica got the win that she needed, but it wasn't without some flaws. Like, she was getting pieced up a little bit, and it was really Rodriguez kind of letting the fight slip away from her because she got just tired. She started letting Jessica get in the pocket and score big punches and take over the fight that way. So it was a little disappointing because Rodriguez definitely has the ability to hang with Jessica and could have won that fight, and it just kind of slipped through her fingers.
By the way, you have not sounded this good. Sounded this good in like fucking since you moved. So your phone's clearly getting the job done. So the other one I mentioned because it's worth coming back to, Kayla Harrison, size of it looked massive, got the big win there over Holly Holm, and then Amanda Nunes seems down. And kind of seems like Amanda Nunes retired because she got bored, Mark. It seems like she smoked this division running out of people. What do you do, man? Do we do a Kayla Harrison versus Raquel Pennington, and then we see if maybe if Kayla wins, we do Amanda Nunes? Or do we just do what this company does and say, fuck it, let's just book Kayla Harrison versus Amanda Nunes right now. Fuck looking ahead.
Yeah, sorry. My phone started getting choppy now, too. No, I thought Harris looked great. Like I mentioned last week, I haven't seen her fight too often. So this was a really big coming out party for her because she just looked awesome. You know, she was able to hang with Holly on the feet. Obviously, when she got her down, she was just worlds ahead of her. I easily think she's the best 135er. I think that's why they brought her in for 135 instead of 145. They know they need star power in that division. So I think she gets an immediate title shot. And then, yeah, it seems like Amanda Nunes is interested in doing something, right? Maybe coming out of retirement. I think that'd be a huge fight. So if they can make that happen, all the better. Because otherwise, you know, after Nunes left, it's definitely left a lot to be desired for 135 for women. So Harris is a great breath of fresh air. She looked awesome in this fight. I don't think personally Holly should feel too bad, about dropping this fight. But I think it's just how she lost the fight. Like, she just got completely dominated. I'm sure it was really crushing for her to feel so powerless. But, you know, if she still wants to fight, obviously she still has a name, but she's not going to beat it. You know, she's not going to beat Harris anytime soon. So that might have been a rude awakening for her and what she can do in that division. You're muted, Bob.
I don't know how this woman made weight, man. She won the weight. She won the Olympics at 172 pounds. But anyway.
I don't either.
She found a way by hook or crook. She made weight somewhere or another. I didn't mean to say crook. Sorry. She found a way, basically, to make weight. Not to cast aspersions on the woman. By the way, she beat Holly Holm's ass and asked her to pray with her. I mean, you better really fucking love Jesus after that ass whooping to want to sit and pray next and pray to Jesus after that, man. I'm just saying. UFC 300. Before we put it in the books, Mark, anything you dug that wasn't super obvious, like Max and Justin, anything that stuck out to you? Because I think I messaged you how much the Gladiator intro really did it for me, man. To the ESPN prelims. Steph was messaging too. Like, he's like, man, I remember all the words to this fucking song, to Face the Pain and all that. And I don't know, man. It made me think of a better time in the sport. I actually thought I enjoyed the sport more when that was what was the theme music, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, no, same. I'm going to mention that. That's going to be in our top five. That was one of the things I liked the most in the last 100 events, was those callbacks, not only to that era, but at the very beginning of the show, they played the old, you know, early day UFC music and had the old logo with the bald guy with his fist up in the air. And all that nostalgia, I thought, was really fun to kind of relive for this big event. And like you, it also made me very nostalgic for those cards. And it kind of made me realize, you know, how far the UFC's come from those days, where it seemed like we weren't getting cards quite as good as 300, but they were cards from like top to bottom we were interested in. And it just seems like that's super few and far between now. So yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. I'd say this is a successful event, man. I think they did a great job. And I think they said it was the third highest gate in UFC history. $16.5 million, which that's a lot of money for 20,000 people. Just me doing some napkin math, that means people paid $800 plus on average. I think. I might have done that wrong. Now I'm just doing it. Now I'm just figuring out math, buddy.
I'm not sure, but it was rightfully, it was a big
$825 average ticket price, which, wow. Good job. I thought they did a great job.
No, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. I thought it was stat card payoff. The fights were great. It was just overall a really fun time to be a UFC fan, which seems few and far between nowadays.
At least for us, with our jaded bunch. UFC's back in a couple of weeks where they are at the... I think they're at the fucking warehouse. They are at the fucking warehouse, but then after that, they're packed at this pay-per-view that... Man, Anthony Smith versus Vito Petrino is on the goddamn card as in a main card. People want, they want $80 for that. It's not a good card. So, we enjoyed this, though. We enjoyed this. Just checking to see if there was any news we missed out on before we do our top five, which, you know, it's going to be an MMA top five because that's what's going on. Davison Figueiredo thinks he deserves a title shot at 135 pounds. Cool. I'm good if he wants to, if they'll give it to him. As long as Merab gets a title shot first, right? That's, I think we're all on that page at least. PFL's going on this weekend. Got some interesting people on there. We got Andrei Koreshkov's in the main event against Magomed Umalatov. Brendan Lochne, good fighter in there in the fighting. Logan Storley's on the card. Yamauchi's on the card. Neiman Gracie, Bubba Jenkins. Honestly, the names you recognize mostly are the Bellator fighters, to be honest. Brett Johns in there. Adam Boric. There's some people on this card, man. Brendan Ward, but we'll see if people watch. It's on the 19th, which I want to say is Friday. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, that's Friday.
That's Friday. Sure. Right, Friday. That's true. Got 20th is Saturday. No MMA, no major MMA card this weekend, but we do got Ryan Garcia versus Devin Haney happening on Saturday, which might be very one-sided, but it's besides the point. All right, top five list. We said we're going to do the top five moments from 2020, UFC 201 to now, for ours personally. I don't know if we said favorite or memorable or whatever, but fuck it. I'll take the easy one because I said I was going to do it. Max Holloway versus Justin Gaethje this past weekend was a top five off all-time moment for me. That was incredible. That was like... It was... One of the reasons I love this sport, man. I'm just like... How you fight is always... How you fight has been a thing that, like... People used to say about MMA, like, how's this guy in the Hall of Fame? How's that guy in the Hall of Fame? He's got 6 losses. He's got 7 losses. It's not just fucking winning and losing, man. It's how you fight. And I think boxing has become more like that too, quite frankly, where one loss doesn't kill you. Max could have... That could have gone horribly wrong for Max, man. He could have... He was up 3-1. He was winning that 5th round. That could have gone real bad. And no, man. Fucking pointed in the middle of the octagon and said, let's fucking go. And I yelled so loud. And the UFC just released, they mic'd up, or the microphones picked up Mark Goddard, who was the referee, and he yelled too. So, amazing moment. That's my first one. Mark, next. Mark, your first one?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you, Bob. I got 9% on my phone left, and I'm plugged in, so I'm just going to give you all 5 of mine, just in case I drop off.
Okay.
So, my first one was, I did like the UFC 300 promo packages, the throwbacks to... Bring the Pain, the old Gladiator music. And I don't know if you caught it in the very beginning. They had not even just the old UFC, but they also had, like, the promo package after the Gladiator one, which was, like, the augmented reality where they're, like, doing takedowns through concrete and stuff. And I wasn't as nostalgic for that promo package. But, yeah, so that was one of my – I like the look back. And then so for the rest of my top five between UFC 200 to 300, I have 2 runs. The Amanda Nunes run, getting the 145 and 135 belts, I thought was phenomenal, right? We've seen very few double champions. We've seen no double champions that defended both belts. You could talk about 145 not being super strong, totally fair. I also wanted to give credit to the Ngannou run at heavyweight, recapturing the belt against Stipe, winning against Ciryl Gane, and then making his exit successfully out of the UFC. And then my last two was I wanted to mention GSP's return to middleweight to fight Michael Bisping and get that belt. And then also finally seeing John Jones go up to heavyweight and be successful there. So I know we like to go back and forth on the top five, but it's not looking like I'll be able to make it all the way through.
It's all
so
good. Wanna, I'll pick up the pace here, too.
Machine gun them out there for you.
All good. You actually get a couple of the ones I was actually thinking, too. I had Amanda taking Cyborg's belt, and I had GSP on there, too. But all right, so my other ones I had. I don't think you said this. You got choppy for a moment there. Connor becoming the first double champion. Did you say that?
Nope.
Okay. Connor became the first double champion at UFC 205. It was short. It was... I think they actually took over the company, these new people, roughly that time, maybe a little bit earlier. And Connor was in the fucking Matrix, basically, in that fight, man. He was so good, and it was only appropriate that the first card in New York City and New York State, since legalization, be with Connor McGregor, and it was a good card overall, and man, he's there. They sold for $4 billion because of him. Just saying that again. I said Holloway Gaethje already. Another one I got is... Edwards Usman 2, head kick, headshot, dead. You know what I'm saying? That was amazing. Like, I was, like, half paying attention for a moment. I was, like, trying to wash dishes. I'm watching on my laptop. My mom's at my house. And, like, all of a sudden I look over. I'm just like, oh, unconscious. Holy shit, that's not Leon unconscious. Like, it took me a moment to realize who got knocked out. That was sick. UFC 216, Mighty Mouse with the... I don't know what you want to call it, a throw into the flying armbar. Like, he kind of lifted the, he got Ray Borg from behind, lifted him in the air, threw him into a flying armbar. Mighty Mouse was fucking sick, and he's been kind of erased from history by the UFC, I feel, on some level. He's the greatest champion they've ever had, statistically. Okay. I think I got it. I don't know how I got an echo. That was weird. Anyway. Ben Askren flying knee to Jorge Masvidal back at UFC 239, or Jorge Masvidal flying knee to Ben Askren. Sorry about that. And then finally, last one I'm going to say is Whaley versus Joanna, where it looked like Joanna had a creature growing out of her fucking head. It's the greatest women's MMA fight I've ever seen. Those two women beat the crap out of each other. It's wonderful. Does not get enough credit, I think, at times. I don't think people appreciate what kind of champion Joanna was. Joanna was an excellent champion in a weight class that needed it when it was new. When you get a new weight class, you need someone entertaining to carry that thing. And Joanna was fucking people up. And when she was no longer champion and Whaley was champion, that matchup between them, greatest women's MMA fight I've ever seen. And yeah, I was a big Joanna champion fan too. So that one was wonderful. That was such a good fight. Very close one, too. I thought Whaley won, but I thought, like, man, Joanna really asserted herself well. But yeah, Gaethje Holloway, Connor double champ, Whaley Joanna, Edwards Usman 2, and Masvidal kneeing Ben Askren. Those are my five moments. So, Marcus, you're back. All right, good. Do you have stuff we like before we take this home? Because I'm going to talk about wrestling, and it might take longer. And in case you die,
because I have no battery, there was really nothing new this week. It's more of the same.
So. Watch X-Men 97, people. That's what we want to say on this podcast. We want to watch. We want you to watch. Yeah. All right. I was going to do a one. I mean, I'm excited for AEW Dynasty. I was going to talk about that for a moment. I don't know if you're going to make it to the end of that, Mark. I'll be honest with you, with your phone battery. But. AEW Dynasty this weekend, real quick. Don't like that it's on a fucking Sunday. I don't know what we're doing. AEW. I thought we do the Sunday thing. When it's a holiday weekend, not in fucking April. All right, where we got to go to work the next day. Super excited for Will Ospreay and Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson's my favorite wrestlers ever. I think we've said it a bunch of times. Love Bryan Danielson. Loved it. I've seen him fight live wrestle live a few times now. He's so good. Matthew Jackson and Nicholas Jackson, apologies. I love what they're doing now. That whole CM Punk thing was fucking stupid, but whatever. Young Bucks versus FTR ladder match for the vacant titles. Those two teams are not bad matches. It's going to be excellent. In general, AEW never lets you down on pay-per-view. It's the TV show that's going to let you down sometimes. Julia Hart with Willow, taking on Willow with Big Stoke in the corner for the AEW TBS Championship should be fun. Big Julia Hart fan, man. She's gotten so good. Eddie Kingston, Adam Copeland, Mark Briscoe versus the House of Black. It's going to be a lot of fun. I imagine that's coming on, you know, somewhere after the ladder match probably to, you know, create some nonsense after that craziness. Timeless Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa. This is not where Toni Storm's title reign comes to an end. Don't think so, at least. Roddy Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly. I'm a big Cool Kyle fan. Everybody knows that. Good that he's back, man, and he's healthy, and those two guys are friends. They're gonna show out. Okada versus Pac. It's gonna be excellent. And finally, I think we're gonna see the coronation of Swerve Strickland, and I'm here for it, man. Big Swerve fan, been one for a while. I think it's gonna be awesome. I don't see how he doesn't win this championship, short of some just true nonsense. Which is too bad for Samoa Joe, man, because Samoa Joe's been a real great champion and not the longest title reign. This is going to be about 4 months for him, but I just like that Samoa Joe got to get a world title reign on national TV. And, you know, as much as I enjoy NXT, you know, in a, like, the top level show of our promotion, Samoa Joe's the man. And if they can maybe get a few more months out of this feud, it'd be good too, because everybody likes Joe and everybody likes Swerve. And, you know, they're both acting as a heel and they're acting as faces at time too. They pretty much just both act like they're doing whatever the fuck they want. So, 8 matches. Let's keep it to that, man. We don't need to go longer than that. All right? That's enough. Give me a 4-hour pay-per-view at most, AEW. And besides that, I say it again, man. Go watch X-Men 97. Especially if you have any memory at all of the cartoon. You don't need to remember a lot. I barely remember, you know, the cartoon. And show's excellent, man. It's just an excellent, excellent show. Besides that, I don't really got much else. Mark, if you're still there, you got anything else you want to say?
No, that's pretty much it. That's all I got.
Sorry for the quick run through it again, folks. If you're interested in the wrestling, Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay is pretty much as good as it gets. Just go ahead and write that down. It's going to be amazing.
We'll talk about it next week.
I promise. It'll be amazing. All right, until next week, I was Dr. Law. That was DJ Mark. Thank you all so much for listening. Apologies for the technical issues. Internet companies hate us sometimes, but that was UFC 300. Hopefully, we'll still be talking by UFC 400. So, peace out. We could do some post-show banter, but it's mostly us being bitter at internet companies, I guess. Yeah, we should be back next week. We'll have Lavender Gooms. Thanks again for everybody for listening. And, yeah, that's it. Goodbye.